There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
in. Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
yeah,
the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings, greetings and salutations. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you. What? It's overdriven. Why didn't you tell me that? Okay, stand by, stand by. How about that? Is that a little better? A little better? How about that? What do you think now? How about now? How about now? Oh, wow. It's really loud. We got to do some adjustments here. We just set up in here. So, how's that? How's that looking? Lou, how's that look?
Fine.
Okay, fine. Good. I'm operating the soundboard. Lou's on the other side of the room. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you from the Central Valley of California. It is Valentine's Day, although we don't really get into that, but I did get breakfast in bed. That was sweet. The 14th of February, 2011. But it doesn't matter about what holiday it is. Earlier today, about midday, I got word that Shauna Ford was found guilty on all 8 counts down there in Pima County. The fix was in from the beginning. We got tidbits of information from people that were there, and there was just no case against her. And these 12 paid prostitutes called a jury, found her guilty. And now hopefully her attorney will mount an appeals process, but we've been following the case. And I'm hoping that some of the people out there that have been calling the show will call. Let me give you the number again. It is my cell phone number because we're mobile. It is area code 559 346-8362, 559-346-8362. I've read 3 or 4 articles. CNN did a story on it, but it's all basically the same. They're just saying border vigilante found guilty on 8 counts, 2 counts of conspiracy, murder of a child underage, all this stuff. And you know, the whole time we were praying for justice to be done, obviously, there are greater forces at work here in evil. And, you know, we've said before from this microphone, even people that are, you know, just wanting her to get a fair trial said, we don't know exactly what happened that night. But it's just another example. I mean, if the evidence given, shadow of a doubt was thrown out the window. And her asking for a change of venue thrown out the window. You know, it's just crazy stuff that we live in, crazy times that we live in with crazy stuff happening, isn't it? But unless we get a call in from some of the trial watchers or supporters of Shauna Ford, that's all I really have to say about it. Nothing much more over that. I wonder what the jury instructions were from the judge. Yeah. Yeah. You go back in there, you find her guilty, ignore all the lack of evidence, and, you know, you just do what you got to do to get us a conviction. Now, she was facing the death penalty in this, so they'll have to wait for sentencing to come up, so she'll still be down there in Pima County for a while, and hopefully her attorney had motions to appeal already to go and has already filed them. But strange stuff, you know. Just, I mean, given the information that got out, you know, the confusion of the witnesses, the lack of DNA evidence, all that kind of stuff, it doesn't make any sense. Just makes absolutely no sense at all. Getting back into what's going on around the world, folks, and again, if anybody wants to call in on that, they can call in to the 559-346-8362 number. We'll put you on. You can voice your opinions on that. If you're like me, there's really not much to say. It's just the way the system works, right? Just another piece of evidence that the system is corrupt. There has been more rioting and protesting going on all around the Arab world today because of the so-called victory in Egypt. But now they're fighting with the army now. They all said, oh, we just want the army to take over. It'll be great when the army takes over. Can somebody open that window a little bit? It's hot in here. But it's going to start spreading. Last night in Irvine, California, at UCI, University of California at Irvine, here we go. Let's see. Who do we have here? Okay, you're live on the air. Who do we have?
I hate to take you off track. I know you're talking about Egypt, but I'd like to talk about Shauna Ford for a second.
That's what we wanted. Who is this? Who's calling?
This is John Lyon. I'm the spokesman for the Committee for Justice for Shauna Ford.
Okay, the forum is yours.
And like you, I was stunned by the result. I felt that Eric Larson, the defense attorney, took the prosecution's case apart brick by brick in his closing statement. I wasn't there, but a friend of mine was. And was very, very satisfied that he had explained to the jury all the problems with the case. And as you say that there's a corrupt system, and I think we need to start being aware. We've heard a lot in terms of systemic prejudice or mm-hmm. all sorts of things related to the women's movement or the civil rights movement. And we need to be aware that as people have struggled to correct what they consider to be systemic problems, instead of solving the problem of prejudice, you simply reverse the roles.
Oh, we sure have.
It's now a crime to be a white conservative.
It sure is.
Now, if you're Abby Hoffman or if you're Bill Ayers, yes, you can commit violent crimes. Bill Ayers, of course, killed people and was acquitted because he hates America, and for some reason, that gets you a license to kill. Shauna Ford, on the other hand, loves America and is, trying to protect and save America. And that's enough to make her a criminal, that combined with her white skin. So we just need to be aware that my main problem with this case from the beginning has been the Arizona Daily Star and other media organs trying the case in their pages.
Sure.
Delving into her past. Finding her estranged birth mother, her estranged half-brother, estranged former acquaintances in the Minutemen movement. Anyone who's willing to say something prejudicial about Shauna, they found that person, they printed that up. And their coverage before and during the trial has been very prejudicial. And rather than single out the Arizona Daily Star, I would just say that for many decades now, the media in general has been striving to, like I said, correct the problems of social injustice. And that's what that seems to translate into is that when someone like O.J. Simpson is accused of murdering two white people, there's dancing in the streets when he's acquitted because he's a black man.
Sure.
And somehow that represents racial justice. But the guys that attempted to murder Reginald Denny, remember him, the guy that was
killed? Oh, yeah, Football Jones and all those guys?
Yeah, I don't remember the names, but the fact is, I think one of them was convicted of disorderly conduct. But, you remember when the police officers who beat Rodney King, they were initially acquitted in state court.
Right, and then the federal government...
That acquittal is what triggered the riots in 92.
Yeah,
after that happened, the federal government filed civil rights charges and tried them twice for the same crime.
Yeah.
Now, in a lawyer's mind, it's okay, because even though they were trying these men twice for the same crime, they called it something else. So a lawyer is satisfied that they haven't violated the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits double jeopardy.
Right.
But for someone who has a common sense approach to things, you know that these men were tried twice for the same crime.
Yeah, common sense dictates that.
They didn't get the result that they wanted, and they just tried them again in federal court, and they finally got the result that they wanted. Now, in the case of O.J., well, where was the civil rights trial for O.J. Simpson? He violated Nicole Brown's civil rights. And where was the civil rights trial for the men who nearly murdered Reginald Denny? They certainly violated his civil rights, but there wasn't any. And I'm sure you are aware that in 2008, there were members of the New Black Panther Party who stood outside polling places with nightclubs, shouting epithets, racial epithets at white people, deterring them from exercising their franchise.
Sure.
Now, even when a judge ruled in the Justice Department's favor, Eric Holder dropped the case, simply because apparently if you're black, it's okay to threaten white people.
Well, only white people can commit racially motivated crimes. I mean, that's pretty much been the precedent in the American court system.
Well, we have allowed our, the white community has allowed itself to be made America's racial whipping boy.
Yeah.
And if you are a white person, if you're a conservative, you are not safe.
No.
Because the Justice Department will not uphold your rights if someone violates your rights. And if you're accused of doing something wrong, you will not receive the benefit of a fair trial with an unbiased judge and jury with a presumption of innocence until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Because I will tell you this, John F. Ford was not proven guilty beyond any kind of a doubt, much less a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
That jury simply jumped in there based on supposition because of her political affiliations and her race, and that's what she was punished for. But in my opinion, I think that Eric Larson, as I said, did an outstanding job in his closing statement. He got all the important evidence into the record and explained to the jury about it. On the other hand, if I were to criticize, I would say that although he did file a motion for a change of venue, when the judge refused it, he did not pursue an appeal. And, of course, now that she's convicted, everything is obvious. So I have to say, you know, at the time I thought, you know, even in Tucson, no, they couldn't possibly convict her. Well, look how I've got egg all over my face. That was, I was so wrong. And I'm wondering now if she would have had a better chance if they had moved the trial out of state.
I feel that way. I generally feel that that was a mistake because when you have the head of the arresting agency coming on TV and just berating her and talking about how she's part of the problem and it's a magnet for freaks to come down there and it's a cesspool of hate, there was no way she was going to have a jury that wasn't tainted. And that's the other thing. The jury took less than a day, less than one business day to come to this conclusion. Given the seriousness of the charge and the lack of evidence, it doesn't make sense that they came to such a quick conclusion unless they had already had their mind set.
They should not have needed even that much time.
To free her. Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's my point exactly, that they should have immediately said, well, there's no state's case. There's no evidence. Let's just come out and say, and she's innocent and let her go. But to come with a guilty verdict this quick means they didn't go over any of the supposed state's evidence. They didn't look at any of it. They didn't compare or ask any questions of the judge, as far as I know so far. Oh. Well, we lost you there. Go ahead and call back in. Let me make sure here. Yeah, there you are. Hello, we got you back there.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. My cell phone does that. But yeah, you were making some really good points, and I agree with all of it. And I'm trying to get over the shock and the disappointment. She spent 20 months in jail already. Mm. And I just feel that, like I said, the white community needs to start asserting itself in the same way that La Raza and the black, I don't know, different kinds of black groups do. And we need to understand that our interests as a group are very much up for grabs. It is just a matter of having, you know, affirmative action people taking our jobs or our college admissions or, you know, other things like that. This is a matter of our ability to get a fair trial in the nation of our birth. And it's gone way too far. We don't have a government that represents us or that honors our Constitution. And we have got to start being stronger. I mean, remember that if you're a black person, unless you're screaming and shouting and starting fires and throwing bricks at police, you're an Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't go that far, but I would say we need to start being more assertive, and because if we just lay down and let them do this to us, it's partly our fault, because we are submitting. And it's, like I said, this has gone way too far. It's got to stop, and we have got to start insisting that everybody in America, if we're going to start dividing along racial and ethnic and political lines, then everybody has to have an even playing field and the same rights, and it clearly is not the case. She did not get a fair trial in front of an unbiased jury and judge, and there's absolutely no way that this verdict can be supported.
No, and it goes back to before you were just connected, what we were discussing, that, you know, we kind of get the government we deserve, and this is our fault for not standing up as a people, for, you know, I don't like using the terms the left, but it should be an even playing field. I like the way you termed that. We should be just as outraged when a black person is railroaded as we are when a white woman is railroaded. Our system of justice, our constitution, what our nation was founded on is that all people are created equal and that they should get a fair standing in the face of the courts. We see it all the time up here. We're on a much lesser battlefield when they seize vehicles and all that kind of stuff, tax stuff that we fight here in our area. But Shauna's facing the death penalty. Is that still on the table?
Well, as far as I know, in a way, now take this as a grain of salt, I said in a way, I hope they do, because that would just make it more essential that it be corrected. You know what I mean? It would give it a higher profile in the media, and it would really force, I think, a judge's hand to say, well, she should never have been convicted in the first place. We certainly can't go for a death penalty.
Yeah, as it goes up the chain.
But as far as I know, they got their conviction. The jury came back with a unanimous vote of guilty, so they're going for the death penalty. And that means that, do you remember Huey Newton way back in the 80s and 70s with Black Panther?
Mm-hmm.
I think he killed a prostitute who called him baby.
Mm.
And he fled the country, and he went to Cuba, and he came back. And he got his fair trial. He was acquitted, of course. And what I'm saying is that we can't just let Shauna be a token for racial vengeance.
Right.
Because, you know, what Martin Luther King said is we need to have, you know, the table of brotherhood and, you know, join hands and all that. But we're not getting there. We're not getting any closer to that. What we're getting closer to is racial vengeance. And she's going to be a scapegoat so people will feel better that white people have suffered just like they have.
Yeah, we need to hold their feet to the fire that she gets just as fair shake as anybody else. And obviously that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened, so... And I like your idea. I hadn't thought of it that way, that if they give her the death sentence, that will put her in the forefront, and perhaps we will get some of these news magazines investigating it and get some raw journalism going, not this yellow journalism, and we'll point out all those things.
I almost wish that.
I know what you're saying, though, yeah.
This actually is her life.
Yeah.
So when I say that, I mean it in a way I wish that, but I really don't, because I just hope that, you know, even life in prison is a terrible fate.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to say we'd rather have 100 guilty men go free than for one innocent man to hang or go to prison.
Sure.
And now what this jury in Tucson has told us is we would rather send 100 innocent people to prison rather than let one guilty person get away.
And even worse than that,
they've told us,
we would rather send one innocent woman to her death rather than expose what's going on down here on the border and embarrass a sheriff.
You know, he's done a pretty good job of embarrassing himself
for
this most recent, shooting down there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm kind of hot under the collar.
Yeah, I can hear it.
I don't mean to vent at you too much. It's just
no, go ahead.
For her to wait so long for her trial, to wait patiently for 20 months. Why in the world? To make the case that they made in Tucson, why in heaven's name does that take 20 months? She's already served a sentence. She served two or three sentences. Not for murder, but for a lot of lesser crimes. I don't know, car theft or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make that case in 90 days or 6 months. What was it about that they couldn't do in a reasonable length of time? Because I sure don't see it.
Well, what I think happened is they had to prepare the media. They had to prepare local media to get them on board. They had to destroy her in press releases. They had to destroy her, you know, with Dupnik making comments. And I think if this Loeffner shooting hadn't happened, people would be going, where's Pima County? What? You know, they were trying to do the best job they could to just send a message to the rest of the Minuteman community and the other militias in the area that go down there. And she was a scapegoat, is a scapegoat. Because the battle's still on, I shouldn't say was. She is a scapegoat. She's something that's being used. Her story's being used, and this case is being used to keep. Because I'm telling you, I know Minutemen that go, man, I don't want to go down there. They may frame me.
No, if you're white and you're conservative, you're not safe.
Right.
Now, if you blow up a police station at the Pentagon, you're safe.
It also sends a message.
If you hate America, if you hate white people, even if you're white, as long as you hate white people in general, you're a good guy.
Yeah.
But if you're pro-America and you don't hate white people and you respect the Constitution and the rule of law, then no, you are not safe in this country, and we've got a big problem. And I would say we need to write our congressmen, we need to organize, get active, we need to start raising our voice and letting people know that we won't stand for it, because as long as we are quiet and meek, you just don't know when it's going to be your turn.
Yeah, the time for just saying, oh, well, I'm glad that's not me, it's over, because if they can do it to her, they can do it to any of us. And it's also sending a message to the people who really did it, that, hey, all we got to do is get a few grains of doubt that it was some Minuteman, and we're off scot-free. All we got to do is start a rumor. Yeah, it's an easy scam to start getting rid of their competitors. You know, just go up to a cop and say, hello, I'm Shauna Ford, I'm going to be in the neighborhood for a few days, and the cop's like, why are you telling me this? You know, that part of the story. It'll make it real easy to build a case against all those groups that are down there on the border all the way from California to across.
That's right.
So I think they got a huge victory today, but that doesn't mean it's over. They won a very big battle, but we've got to keep fighting for Shauna. I've got her niece keeps contacting me. She's just panicking. Crystal, she doesn't know what to do. I'm like, just sit down, pray. And she's, you know, wait, you know, there's going to be an appeal process, especially if it's automatically, if they find for death, there will be an automatic appeals that goes through, and maybe we can get more attention. Because it's sad, I hunt around, and we're the only ones in radio that I know of on the internet. There's three or four internet outlets that are doing it, but I can't find any commercial radio stations that have got this message. So that might be the first step. Those people that are listening to this story, call your local talk radio people. Send them a big email with all the links saying, why aren't you talking about this? That's what they decide. That's how they decide what to talk about on talk radio.
You remember the judge over there in North Carolina, the Duke lacrosse team?
Yes.
What was his name? Nifong? Mike Nifong?
Yeah, Nifong. Yeah, yeah.
No, he wasn't the judge. He was
prosecutor.
The prosecutor.
He was the DA.
But the fact is, under the law, you cannot sue a judge or a prosecutor. However, you can go to the Bar Association and file a complaint if they behave in a way that is inappropriate. And I feel that bringing a case against someone without stronger evidence than that was irresponsible. And that the judge, by not issuing a directed verdict of not guilty, that he's guilty of incompetence.
Sure.
I think they both ought to be disbarred, the prosecutor and the judge.
Yeah, and I would even go deeper to see if there's any ties and links that they benefited in some way, because this is just bizarre. My background's as a federal law enforcement officer, both an MP and other stuff I've done, and when I looked at this case, just what the media let out, it was ridiculous. And then hearing what courtroom watchers were telling us, it was like, this doesn't make any sense at all. There wasn't even enough evidence there, and there was enough confusion there to not even file the case in the first place in a legitimate, you know, jurisdiction. But obviously in Pima County...
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
There's ultimately no excuse for that jury other than simple political and racial prejudice.
Well,
that was what they based, in my opinion, that's what they based their verdict on. And prosecutor and judge... ultimately, they had the power and the responsibility. They took an oath to perform their legal and constitutional duty in that jury room, and they plainly did not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully, there were already appeals, you know, motions ready to go, and those will be filed. And you know, there's so much more that needs to be done. It's not over yet. And those of you listeners that have been sending Shauna support, both in emails and in monetary, keep it up. Don't give up. It's not over. We've got to keep supporting Shauna and helping those that are supporting her to keep getting this message out. And I'm serious. You guys that listen to me, just mad fax, mad email all of the networks about this case today and say, America needs to look at this. And just keep doing it. Don't give up. You know, they want to talk about everything that's going outside of our borders. Give them some local stuff to talk about. But, well, thanks for calling in. If you have, do you have anything else to add?
No, that's about it. My heart is broken.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm sorry to vent at you. But
No.
You know, it's time for us to get a little, not to get really angry, but it's time for us to get a little bit angry enough to do something. And I'm just so frustrated, and I'm hoping that a lot of people will get involved. But this is not just about Shauna, it's about every conservative white person.
It's about liberty. Okay, thanks for calling in. Right. We're going to take a break right now, and call in any time. You're not venting. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, we're going to be right back after this break.
the little streets of Belfast in the dark of early morn. British soldiers came running, breaking little homes away scorn. Hear the sobs of crying children, dragging fathers from their bed. Watch the scene as helpless mothers, watch the blood fall from their heads.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Not for them a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty, so they're guilty one and all. Round the world a truth will echo, Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people stand together, proudly marching on your way. Never fear or never falter, till the boys come home to stay.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Here, ominous drum beats, the bumper music. I kind of like that. I feel like Patton coming in. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. We got off to a bumpy start, so we'll do a restart here. Second half hour. What you're hearing is coming to you from the Central Valley of California. We're on the move. We're mobile right now. Normally, we're at the church at Kauia, and we bring you the militant Christian worldview, a separatist Christian worldview, as it were, where we discuss the things that are wrong, but we also give you solutions. Sometimes it's hard when there's so much that's so wrong, isn't there? Isn't it right? Just when you just see so much injustice going on in the world and people getting railroaded, homes being seized, fat cats getting richer and the poor getting the picture, as they say. And it angers me. And it and you can tell when I'm angry because I get kind of, I'm not as, you know, jovial and joking as I normally am, but it's just sad to me that we live in a time when we seriously can look to our judicial system, our government, our police, or even many of our local bureaucrats and spokesholes and civil service slugs that we have been paying to survive, that work for us, and yet they can destroy us, imprison us, and yes, even kill us without blinking an eye. And most of the sheep just go on grazing and don't lift their heads. Here at Stronghold Radio, we're about sheepdogs. That's what we're about, sheepdogs. We're about getting together in packs of sheepdogs and doing what is right for this nation, to return it to a godly basis. And
it's hard in these battles when we hear these huge defeats for justice and liberty, like happened with Shauna Ford today, being found guilty on all 8 counts. But the battle's not over. The war definitely isn't over, and it's not going to be a short one. There's all kinds of things you can do. Educate yourself. Collect, you know, go to justiceforshaunaford.com. Send that website to every media outlet you know. Tell your friends about it. You know, this is something we should be seeing on. Right now I'm watching Fox News with the volume turned down, and they're talking about all kinds of stuff on there, but there's nothing on that ticker about it. They don't want to deal with these stories where people are trying to do something to protect this nation and they get railroaded and framed. Lou, can you go shut the door? We're hearing people out in the hall. Take your headphones off so you don't. And that's what we're about. We're about solutions. We're about making sure that everything we can do, we do. That we get together, that we train together, that we fellowship together. And that's the solution. And don't forget about our trainings. I keep bugging you guys about it because it's important. Training is critical. May 20th, we're going to have Larry Wick at the church. $150. Get your money in before April 20th. $150 for 3 days of self-defense training. If you're interested in the Code 20 stuff we're doing, you contact me, and I'll pass your name to Steve Klein, who will be with us tomorrow, by the way, and let you know what's going on there and the training opportunities with that. And our continued community emergency response team training that we do at the church at Cahuilla that's open to the public. Which also means that if we're doing it, guess what? You should be doing it. We're just a church. We're a little country church with 30 to 40 people that attend every Sunday. That's it. We've got some acreage and open space, but we don't have any money coming in. If we can't make it from what's laying around, we probably don't buy it. If we can't trade for it, barter for it, or save up for it, it's not anything that we can do. You know, when John called in there and told us about, you know, how he feels about it, turn that around. Turn your anger around, your disgust, your disappointment in the system, and turn it towards positive energy to work positively, if only on the community level. I get a lot of people mad in the Patriot movement when I say I think America's done. And we see things like this today, and we're honoring all these ridiculous Muslim students overseas for rioting and killing each other in the name of demonocracy. But meanwhile, in our own country, our own rights are being stripped, taken away, buried, and stomped every single day. Every single day. Just like with what happened in the Shauna Ford case. There is no way a jury could come to that conclusion, even with the evidence that was given out in the media. It flies in the face of a guilty verdict. So if they can do it to her, they can do it to us. And they're going to come to your home one day. If you're the kind of person that listens to this show, if you're the kind of person who knows what's going on, then it's pretty much guaranteed you're on their list. It's just a matter of how high on the list you are. And the time will come, the day will come, when either they will come for you, or they will pick somebody up and they will use you as leverage to try and soften their blow that they're going to receive. So it's critical now. You get involved. Get involved now before it's too late. We're living in a period of grace. God has given us this time to organize ourselves, to network, to be like the ant and store up supplies, food, money, whatever it is. I have before me, sitting right here in my little pocket constitution, the Citizens Rule Book, the Bill of Rights Jury Handbook that's put out by, I think, who does this one? Who puts these out? I can't even read anymore. It's just too small for me to read anymore because my eyesight's getting so bad so fast. But there's a warning on the back here that says something along the lines of, warning, this document may be hazardous to bad laws. Courts may not welcome or approve of those. I can't read it. Lou, I need you to tell. What's this word? I can't read. That's too small. Read that out loud to me, Lou, and do it loud.
This document may be hazardous to bad laws. Courts may not welcome or approve of these truths. neither are they to be concerned as legal advice. Therefore, to act on these facts is to do so at your own risk.
Now, isn't it sad that we have to publish something in the United States, thank you, Lewis, that handing out the Constitution and certain laws, they have to warn you that using these laws, you do so at your own risk because you will anger those magistrates and those puppets in power? You know, it's funny, I've talked to a couple sheriffs from Arizona, you know, informally, one directly, and they know Pima County is on the take. They know it's a corrupt county. And my question is, well, then why doesn't anybody do anything about it? Well, that's not my focus, or it's not that big a deal, or it's too big a deal. Or no, this evil that's out there, it's not on the horizon anymore. It surrounds us. And until we stand up and do something about it, it's going to only get stronger. So now more than ever, in this case of Shawna Ford, we have to scream about it. We have to make sure that everybody knows about it. Let this be a torch that you light. The dog's eating a napkin on the floor. A torch that you light and wave at the gates of the castle, if only to rally others, if only to let them know that you're watching, that you're listening. Now, when this first happened, we had everybody call the jail and say, hey, nothing better happened to her. We know she's there, that kind of stuff. When we first found out about it, because it's been going on for 2 years now, we just found out about it within the last 6 months. We have a duty to be diligent in all these things. We have a duty to prepare ourselves. Because the time is going to come. Take that from him. The time is going to come when it's you or your neighbor. It's not going to be somebody in Arizona. Arizona's 15 out. Where she's at, it's probably a 15 or 20-hour drive from me. It's still pretty close. And most of you on the eastern seaboard are like, well, Arizona's a world away. Hey. You just about pulled the soundboard over. I know. You control the dog, Lou. Stop blaming a puppy for something you did. The problem is that so many people are cowards. So many people are too worried about what others think about them. Too many people are ignorant. Too many people are oblivious. Too many people are easily distracted, or all of those, or just one of those to a huge degree. I'm fortunate, you know, and sometimes it's hard for me, and people get mad at me because I'm judging you guys out there in the general population of America, but because I live someplace where I'm close to the well of liberty, and I live it every day. So maybe it's not fair because I'm not out chasing a mortgage or worrying about car payments because I'm dirt poor and I live in a milk barn. A milk shed, basically, is what we live in. But I did that on purpose because I wanted to focus on the issue so I could do a show like this. So every day, and this will be the last I talk about it, every day you've got to find a way to serve this cause. And here's a perfect example. Go to justiceforshawnaford.com, justiceforshawnaford.com. Go to all the links, spread them around. You guys are so quick to email a quick picture of a kitten or a funny picture of Obongo. Well, do this too. Let people know about this incident in Pima County. And don't let it die. Don't let it disappear. Don't let it become just another footnote. This woman's fighting for her life because she was willing to stand on the border to defend your life. And now she's pretty much helpless. She's at the mercy of lawyers and all that kind of stuff. She can't do what she used to do because she's going to be locked down in a cell because she's going to be a special interest inmate. And they don't want anybody to kill her because they've advertised that she's some kind of little baby killer now. So you've got to be a voice for Shawna. Everybody that cares about this cause. Okay? I hope I made that point pretty clear. I'm accused of flogging a dead horse constantly because I know that people don't get it. In my personal life and in my professional life and in my ministry life, I know that people don't listen. I can tell somebody something 5 times and they'll still go, "You never told me to do that." So I do it 10 times because the example is that if I don't do it 10 times, you don't hear it. There's nothing worse than me doing a whole show on a topic like food confiscation, and I know the person, people are listening because I can see in the chat room, I get feedback, and then the next thing you know, I get a call 2 days later, "Hey, did you hear about that food confiscation?" "Yeah, I'm the one that told you." "No, I'm pretty sure I heard it somewhere else." So I know people don't listen to me. I know it doesn't get in deep and take root because of our education system. And I'm getting broad here, but people are used to 30-second sound bites, and that's it. And unless it's something really flashy or sexy, they don't remember it. That's why if I go, what exactly does the Third Amendment say? What does the Fifth Amendment say? What is it? People can't recite them. Most people go, huh? You talking about the commandments? I remember one time I asked somebody, what are the Ten Commandments? And they gave me the Ten Amendments. And I'm like, no. And then inversely, I've had the other thing happen. We're being told that all communications with Shauna have been cut off. She is being held incommunicado because they're probably going to, after she gets sentenced, they're probably going to say there's a heightened security risk now. The militias are going to swoop in with the militia air force and bombard the prison. No, that's not going to happen. We don't react like the enemy does. You know, if Shauna had been black, there'd be rioting in the streets. Oh, if she had killed a white family in South Africa, you know, then everybody would be saying she was a hero. You know, convicted of that, but because she was accused of something she didn't do and found guilty. No, you're not going to see a bunch of angry Minutemen rioting in the streets and burning down buildings and looting, are you?
No.
If anybody wants to call in, they can call in at 559-346-8364, and you can share your views on... Oh, I said 6262. 559-346-8362. Let me give that number again. I messed it up. 559-346-8362. If you want to talk about this or anything else, I had planned to talk about the Islamic Brotherhood and all that stuff, what they did down in Irvine and some stuff that we're going to talk about tomorrow. But interesting. I also found out over the weekend, it seemed like everything I was reading was about Scientology. And maybe they're a little thing, you know, they're not a global entity, but they were a global evil entity. You know, they're not running a nation or anything as far as we know. Yeah, cartoons, news stories, I've been running into a lot about Scientology. And I found out the guy who runs Front Sight is a Scientologist, so I'm no longer going to be recommending Front Sight. I will only be recommending defensive firearm training up in Coarse Gold. I will not recommend anything to do with Scientology. And the reason I tell you that is this. As a private investigator, I've worked cases where we've tried to help people get out of that church, so I have seen firsthand the evil of Scientology. I was interviewing an individual in the city of Riverside. I won't give out his name. And while I was interviewing him about his experience escaping Scientology and getting death threats, someone actually made an attempt on his life while I was there. And I've been to the compound in San Jacinto, California, which is their international compound out there. I've been to the one in Los Angeles where the actors all go. I've been confronted by their security. I've helped people get out. I've delivered people to deprogramming companies. And so when I found out that the guy who runs Front Sight is a Scientologist, I want nothing to do with them, and I will no longer recommend them, and your money is better spent at a local range with a good instructor or coming out to us or coming to defensive firearms training and Coarse Gold. They have one in Nevada, too?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Lou says that DFT has a – I didn't know that. If I knew it, I forgot it. They have a range facility in Nevada. So if you're going to go to Nevada, go to DFT. You can go to the link and just tell them that we sent you. Yeah, that's L. Ron Hubbard. The pedophile science fiction writer who once said that if you really wanted to make a lot of money, start a religion. Well, hello. Who do we have here?
I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
You called me.
No, I didn't.
Look.
I've got it right here. Okay, I'm going to hang up on you. Okay, the person just called, go ahead and call back. For some reason, it was just looping my voice back through, but I saw that it connected and I couldn't hear you. So go ahead and call back, and I'll put you right on as soon as we can. But, yeah, Scientology is a terrible, terrible thing. And it's we were listening to this one guy on the radio where he was paid like 28 cents an hour. He tried to escape. They ran him off the road, nearly killed him out there. I know exactly where he's talking about because I've spent a lot of hours out there surveilling their facility. Hello?
Hey, it's Lane Lawless.
Okay, now that's good. That's good. We got a good connection now. Well, the forum is yours. Go ahead.
I'll tell you, I was driving somewhere to go to a job interview today, and I heard on the radio they said The leader of a Minuteman border group has been convicted of murder. That was it. That was all she got on the radio in Phoenix. And they didn't even use her name, you know?
Yeah.
She's been convicted of murder. That was that. We can just write her off now. I'm just devastated. I felt ill when I heard that announcement on the radio. I thought she had at least some chance, maybe even a hung jury.
Yeah, you're not instantly in a half day, boom, you know, guilty.
Well, they deliberated for, what, all of 7 hours is what they said on the media. I can believe that, but, yeah. You know.
Yeah. If they were looking at the evidence, if they looked at it for any period of time, they would have seen there was no evidence. They probably just wanted to get... They had to do at least 6 hours to get another free lunch out of it, probably. I've been on Jerry's. I know how they think.
Let's get a free lunch while we send someone
to death. Yeah. Well, that's the way they are. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll tell you something. What's been accomplished with Shawna Ford's conviction, I'm just going to talk politics now.
Go ahead.
Because we have said from the very beginning in the committee, and you know there's other people on it other than me because they've called your show.
Sure.
And other Shawna supporters. I'm just the one with the biggest mouth, and I talk the most. Which doesn't make my contribution any more valuable than anyone else's. There's been a whole bunch of us working on the website and working on supporting Shawna. And as time went on, I began to see that the railroad was not stopping. I mean, we were doing everything that we could think of to try and support Shawna with the website. But there are machinations that go on behind the scenes, you know, behind the curtain, that we couldn't do anything about. And the bottom line is that when I made a YouTube video several months ago and I talked about the issues involved in Shawna Ford's case, I said that the objective of Pima County doing this was to get the Minuteman off the border.
Yeah.
And now that a Minuteman has been convicted, even though everybody dumps on her and says, oh, she's guilty, she's a mass murderer, It has a real chilling effect on any patriots who might want to protect and defend the sovereignty of their country.
Yeah, yeah, and it's having an effect. I've actually had people say to me, man, I ain't going nowhere down in Arizona now after that.
Well, let me explain something. There are different counties in Arizona. Pima County is the most left-leaning, commie-influenced county in Arizona. I can say that. I'm a conservative. I know what they are. I lived in Tucson for a year and a half, and I left because I didn't like it. But there's two other counties on... Well, actually, there are three other counties. There's, Santa Clara or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. That's a teensy, tiny little county. Cochise County is where a lot of illegal aliens and smuggling goes on. Cochise County has a Minuteman-friendly sheriff, Sheriff Larry Deaver, and he told the Minuteman Project in the very beginning, and I was there, although I was not allowed to participate in the Minuteman Project. He said, look, as long as you obey the law, I'll support you. The minute you violate the law, then I'll arrest you. And he was very cut and dried about that, and we kind of thought that was okay. That was fair. The other county is Yuma County, and I'm really not sure what the situation is there, but I think they've got a good enough fence now and enough border patrol that they actually have the Yuma sector under control. There's very little illegal trafficking going on in the Yuma area, but the Tucson sector is the one that's covered with Pima and Cochise County. That's where a lot of the stuff goes on. So obviously there's an agenda in Pima County to get the Minuteman off the border because they have to keep getting their bribes and letting loads across.
Right.
Donna was interfering with that.
Yeah, she definitely was a thorn in the side of what was going on there. I'm sorry to confuse you. The people on the air didn't hear me, but... we had some idiot in there named Wrecking Machine, is that what it was?
Yes.
Started getting foul mouthed. We had to boot him, some obvious stooge for the government that said something very offended about Shawna, so we kicked him. So sorry about that. I mean, I know you could hear me on the phone, but nobody else could hear me. We're just making sure we kicked him out. Are you there?
Well, good.
Yeah, I mean,
good.
We're going to see this. This is just the mentality. I won't even repeat what he printed for those of you that aren't in the chat room, but it just shows the vitriol to get this woman. She was a symbol of something that the left and the cowards and the those Minuteman groups out there that wanted to capitulate, they didn't want her out there doing what she was doing. And the sheriff didn't want her out there because it was going to shed light on what really goes on down there.
Yeah, let's not expose evil because it likes to live in the dark, not in the light.
Yeah, let's just leave it alone. Let's not go down there and tell the truth.
Well, I did see a news article about Shauna being convicted today, and they did something very offensive at the very end. They quoted Chris Simcox as saying that she was unstable and that he threw her out of MCDC.
That's funny. A cross-dresser calling her unstable?
No, that's not quite his issue. I'll tell you what his issues are because I'm very familiar with his in-laws. I'm very friendly with them, let's put it that way. He has a divorce case coming up on the 28th of this month in family court in Maricopa County. And his wife said that he abused her, that he brutalized her, he strangled her, he punched her, he gave her a black eye, and that he abused her children. So now this to me is the epitome of an unstable man, some man who's such a coward that he beats up his own family. And people might say, well, why did she put up with it? Why didn't she call the police? Well, when you have a husband who scares you to death for a large portion of your marriage with physical threats and violence, and he says, if you call the police, I'm going to shoot you, myself, and I'm going to shoot all the cops.
Well, yeah, I mean, we saw it all the time when I was in law enforcement, you know, the battered wife syndrome. And in all fairness, he's innocent until proven guilty. But the thing on the cross-dressing crack I made, I've actually seen pictures of him dressed up as a woman, so I can make that comment.
Are you sure you don't mean Jeff Schwilk, Bikini Boy Jeff?
You know what? Who, okay, maybe I'm thinking they're the same person.
No, they're not.
You know, I thought they were the same person. They're different people from the from San Diego?
Yeah, Chris Simcox isn't from San Diego.
You're right. You're correct. I was thinking of the San Diego Minutemen. You're talking about the ex-school teacher who moved to Tombstone. And open it up. Yeah, I've heard some pretty scary stuff about him. I was talking about the other guy, the bikini guy. You're right. I'm so mad my mind isn't working. Thank you for correcting me.
Well, that's all right. Bikini Boy Jeff Schwilk has already sent out some foul piece of crap through the email about Shauna. So I'm sure that more people will be saying things like that. And all I can say is, you know, she still has my support. I still believe in her innocence. I didn't hear anything in court that told me that she was a murderer, and neither did anybody else who was a supporter of hers. Those witnesses were so bad. They were so bad. They weren't even credible. I don't know how anybody could have believed what they said, except in prejudiced Pima County. Mm-hmm. And that's why the change of venue was such a very, very important thing. That was key to getting Shauna Ford a fair trial, and that's why we kept screaming on the website, she can't get a fair trial in Pima County.
Yeah.
And even after the jury was chosen and Shauna said, well, I don't know, I think they're okay, we're pretty happy with the jury, meaning her legal team.
Yeah.
You know, she said, well, take this stuff down about Shauna Ford can't get a fair trial in Pima County. And we said, no, we're not going to do that. We have to keep the pressure up. The only thing that's kept you alive was our website and keeping the pressure up.
Yeah, and that has to increase now. We can't let up now. It has to increase. We have to get more people involved in this as we go through the appeals process.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been told that the appeals process, if somebody's convicted of a death penalty, in a death penalty case, can take 9 to 10 years.
Yeah, it's a decade is the average in the U.S. I mean, bad news for her being incarcerated for that entire time. And, of course, I think from what they've done, they're going to put her in solitary for that whole time and say, oh, she's a risk. People are going to go after her. Her life is going to be hell from here on out, folks.
Well, I maintain contact with some of the women who were in Hotel Hell, as she calls it, the punishment block, who are currently in prison. And one of them is, has told me that if Shauna is convicted of murder with the death penalty, she will definitely go right to solitary confinement. Yeah. And whenever anybody visits her, it'll be behind thick glass. She won't be able to receive any real in-person visits.
That's right.
So things won't get any better for her. But I can say this. I know the prison that she's likely to go to from Pima County Jail, and it's about 50 miles away from me rather than, 125.
Sure.
So in a sense, that's an improvement because I still intend to go visit her.
Good.
But honestly, after what happened with me and the judge in the courtroom and the prosecutor and her defense attorney, I seriously expect people will gang up on me, and I will not be allowed to attend Jason Bush's trial or Albert Gaxiola's trial.
Yeah.
Just because I'm writing the book, and I may make a few dollars off of it. The funny thing about it is that the people who ganged up on me, the defense attorneys, the prosecutor, I don't know how much the judge makes, but the defense attorneys make $200,000 a year plus.
Yeah.
And so they're ganging up on little me, who makes less than 10% of what they make. They just, they get their money, win or lose.
Yeah.
They get their money. Everybody got paid on this.
And who
the judge got paid, the prosecutor got paid, the defense attorneys got paid, even the crappy jury consultant who was hired to handpick a good jury for Shauna, she got paid too.
Yeah.
And guess what? She picked Bradley Schwartz's jury in Tucson, and he was convicted of murder too. I wonder how she justifies this on her resume.
Well, what you're talking about getting paid is above line. We wonder how much you're getting paid below line. Well, you know, and I say that, you know, in all honesty, I just don't trust anything in the system. Well, Lane, we're going to go to a break. We're going to switch over to Liberty Tree Radio here. Thank you for calling in, and as always, feel free to call anytime, Lane.
Thank you for your support, Dutch.
Thank you, and we'll keep this going, and we won't forget.
I appreciate it.
Okay, good night. Folks, a lesson here in reality, isn't it? Check out DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. We're going to switch over to Liberty Tree Radio here in a minute when Ed gets in there. And we're going to continue to talk about just stuff in the cause. If you guys want to continue to talk about this, that's fine. I'll give the number out. We're going to go into a little different mode when we switch over to Liberty Tree Radio. And we'll be back after the break.
I will fight for freedom and raise liberty. I die for my country, slaying corporate dynasties. America, now show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, America, now show my love for you in all that I do. I see it in your eyes, the love you have inside. I'll never let you down as long as I have breath. As I try to change and rearrange the promise that I have with you, and I will pick you up and stand you up and set you back up on your feet. After all I've fled and no one's left, I will always be there. I'll be there by your side and never let you down. I cry for my people in this time of tragedy. I just want some answers so the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. I say hallelujah.
When the crash does come,
when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest. The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm a little better now than the first hour. I got a little catharticism going there, getting it out of my system. This is Dutch Jones coming to you live from behind enemy lines, Central California, a non-disclosed location, as we go on the road sometimes in search of bandwidth. And we are coming to you live today. It is the 14th of February, 2011. Some people call it St. Valentine's Day or Turpentine's Day, as I used to say when I was a kid because I didn't know what it was. I got breakfast in bed this morning, scrambled eggs, toast, and some kind of turkey bacon. Is that what that was? It was something that they... Oh, that was a strange taste in bacon at first there.
Healthy for you. It's good for you.
I think it tastes like tires, but, you know, that's just... Yeah, I'm not a big fan of healthy stuff. That's what we do here. We bring you the Christian militant worldview from the Church at Kaweah. Tuesdays in this time slot, if you're listening, welcome to all our Liberty Tree Radio listeners. Welcome to Stronghold Radio. That's what we call our little endeavor here. We have Steve Klein on from Code 20, AbolishIslam.com, every Tuesday and Thursday nights. Every Thursday night in this time slot, we have Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, where he discusses practical Christianity. And he's not going to be here this Thursday. He's going to be judging. That's funny. He's going to be judging a school. He got invited. It's funny because we do homeschool, but a school district speech competition on the Second Amendment. Is that what it was? It was the second. It was the Second Amendment. No. It was border issues. The written one was Second Amendment. The spoken competition is on the border issues in America. And a couple kids that go to our church are competing in it. Lou, of course, because it was speech, wouldn't do it.
I thought it was only for high schoolers.
It's for any students. No, he's judging it, you moron. See what I talked about in the last half hour, but I'll say something five times and somebody doesn't hear it. I said he's judging. So because we actually have some homeschool students involved in it, he was asked to judge. So that's going to be interesting. I can imagine what it's going to be like. I can't believe the school district picked such a hot topic, to be honest. The Second Amendment for the written portion and the oral competition, the speech competition, would be border issues and closing the border. It's going to be interesting. So next Thursday, instead of having the pastor, I think we're going to run one of his sermons this coming Thursday. I always say next Thursday, and that's great. I never got that right. I'm dyslexic when it comes to days and calendars. Yeah, so this coming Thursday, today's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, instead of having a live... We'll probably... we've got some really good sermons that the pastor's been given lately. We may do that. Or I could just talk for an extra hour if I have it. But I think if you're tuning in to look for the pastor, I owe you to play something pastoral and putting it in there. Notes on training. If you haven't heard our Larry Wick three-day seminar on unarmed self-defense, the split-second survival series will be taught the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in May. But I need people to sign up now. It's filling up fast. We were worried about not making the, because he says he only has a minimum of 25 people, and we're a small church. We only have like 30 to 40 people in our church. So I put the word out on the internet, and bam, it came back in. So you're going to get the word in soon. You have to send us the $150 and your information, just your name, you know. And, you know, and then if you want, we can give you information on hotel rooms. I encourage you to come and camp. May is going to be beautiful here. Come and camp. We can put a couple people up, and they can sleep in the kitchen or in my recliner. Or somebody can bunk with Lou. Anybody, you know, especially we can have a drawing to see who gets to bunk with Lou. It would be really, 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 really good for you to learn this. And $150 is nothing. He normally charges $300. We've got a Code 20 class, which we can talk more about that tomorrow with Steve. If you're interested, you have to be vetted for that. We are very careful about who we teach to use firearms and things like that. We don't want some idiot or some plant or some foreigner coming in, so we do vet you. And that's coming up on March 12th. And there, I know there's a maximum for the class. The minimum's been more than met. But you have to give us a call for that. That's $100 for one day. For a donation, we're gonna, Stacy and I are gonna go get a bunch of tacos and burritos and cheese and rice.
Not from Taco Bell though.
We're gonna go to Serrano's down the road. So all you need to do is show up with a notebook, something to write with, a firearm, some ammunition, you know, and if you sign up for it, we'll give you some more details. But come up for the day, spend the weekend, go to church with us. We're going to be doing a lot of personalized training on those levels. So maybe we'll cap it. We don't want to have like 100 people show up, and I can't give good one-on-one in the afternoon training on their personal weapons. But we're getting more instructors. We've resurfaced the shooting range. Everything's going good. We're going to make some really cool new targets, new barricades for you to shoot around, some offhand shooting, support side shooting, strong side shooting. We're going to demonstrate some maybe how to shoot when you're injured stuff, how to change your mags when you get your arm blown off. it's not going to be that dramatic, but it's going to be good. It's going to be an entry-level class. And if you grasp what we're teaching you, then we can do more.
The first day, you'll have uniforms issued to you.
Yeah, the day one will be issuing of uniforms, Lou says. No, we don't have any uniforms. But come on up. Make a weekend out of it. Enjoy the area. Go look at the trees, the big, I heard there's big trees up there. What are they called? Sequoias?
Yes.
Redwoods? Is there a difference between redwoods and sequoias?
Yeah.
I don't know which one's which. I just know there's gigantic trees somewhere up the road from us.
Yeah, redwoods are like big
and red. Yeah, I don't know, but I've been up there a few times. It's beautiful. And as we do these through the summer, we want to work it into a family weekend, especially these Code 20 things. You can bring your family along. I mean, they only have to pay if they're going to shoot. And be trained on the shooting range. If they want to come and sit in the class, and you know, if you got little kids, we'll set up a big screen TV or something. Not a big screen because we need that, but we'll set up a TV in our library, and the kids can watch, you know, cartoons or something, Christian cartoons, something like that. There's a playground there, so it's a definitely a family oriented event. We're a family oriented church, and the things that we do are always family oriented. We don't believe in separating, you know, a man from his family unless we absolutely have to, you know, in the roles that he serves. So if you can bring your wife and kids along, they'll have fun too. There's all kinds of little things to do around town, up here. And we're a vacation spot. So,
Reimers.
Yeah, and go to Reimers for ice cream or fudge. They have like, there's a candy, it's not really a factory, it's like a candy shop. And they make all their own ice cream and everything up here.
And
we've got good sandwich places and stuff. So there'll be something for people to do. We've got a nice little museum.
Yeah.
If you come in the summertime, like I said, we got a river to go swimming in and trees to climb and cattle to harass and turkey to hunt down and beat with sticks, things like that. There'll be, you know, people to chase off the property. You know, we'll train your little kids to be security. So training. And again, don't forget our third Sundays of the month, we do our community emergency response team trainings. And this Sunday coming up is battlefield trauma, head-to-toe assessments, just real fast, down and dirty stuff. We'll split into teams and we'll set up little stations. And I'll go over it in a classroom first, especially if you weren't in the last two classes. I go over what we've already done in the first 15 minutes, and then we do the drill. And for those of you that want to stick around, there will be a wedding. I think she's in there. Isn't Twinkle Toes in there? Yeah, I see Twinkle Toes in there. There'll be a wedding following the training. We don't know which one. Well, it doesn't matter which one it is. They're both the same, you know, husband and soon-to-be husband and wife, who's ever using Twinkle Toes. So there will be a wedding and all that, and you're welcome to attend that as well. As always, just email me or call me if you're considering coming to a training, in case we change things, in case I have to tell you to dress appropriately for certain weather or, you know, those kind of things, because we train rain or shine here. We've never canceled the training here because, you know, of hail, tornadoes, locusts, or anything. We go through with it no matter how miserable it is. But fortunately, the Lord has been really good to us. And most of the time that we do stuff, it ends up being nice, especially like the last code 20, the last small unit reaction drills. It was beautiful out. It's like we're very fortunate here, and God does shine upon us. Okay, folks. Again, if you're just tuning in, it's 12 minutes after the hour of 6 p.m. Pacific time. I am Dutch Jones, and we got the bad news that Shauna Ford was found guilty today after about 7 hours of deliberation, which makes absolutely no sense because everything that came out of that courtroom, from our courtroom observers to our people reporting, firsthand and secondhand stuff that we got in the media, there was no evidence against her. And I know there's some angry jerks listening right now because we had to boot them out of the chat room that wanted to say some disgusting things, and now you're listening as guests.
There's ladies in the chat room.
You come into the chat room and you use that kind of foul language in print, or you come on the air and you let something raunchy slip. I don't mind somebody using a dang or a darn or a SOB and when they're impassioned in their speech, but if you come on the show and you do something like that, you're going to get booted, and you have to listen as a guest, and you don't have a say in it. It's just this is not a democracy. The radio show is not a democracy. Warlin is asking if we have a chess club. Yeah, but it's just me. I'm the only one up there that plays chess that I know. If somebody's asking if Kui. Lou doesn't play very well. When Lou says he plays chess, we'll set the pieces up, and I'll say, you go first, and he'll start eating the chess pieces or throwing them at me. That's how he plays chess. So he'll try and eat mine and throw his at me. So, you know, it's just the way it goes. Over the weekend, we had a really good weekend. We did get our radio tower up. When I say radio tower, I mean we got tired of everybody promising us to get us a radio tower. We bought a bunch of 2x4s, and Lou and a couple of the men from church built a wooden radio tower. It looks like something out of an old mine shaft, but it works. I think it's 12 feet tall, 10 feet tall. How tall did you guys make it? Well, we put it on top of the roof, and then put an antenna tripod on top of that, and then put 20 feet of mast on top of that. So we're back up to around 40 feet for our FM Vicegerent radio, which, of course, is right now playing. Is it playing? Did you make sure it downloaded and everything? Uh-oh. He's looking at me like he doesn't know. We play the intelligence report from 5 to 7 on the FM side, and then at 8 o'clock we play a chapter from the book Patriots. And we changed that this week, right? You're on chapter 3 now?
Yeah.
Good.
Part 3.
Yeah, it's not chapter 3 because it's sectioned off differently than chapters. So we got that up, and we did get a lead on a good tower that somebody has in their farm field for $100. So maybe we can get back up to 90 feet if we need to. But that's good. We, of course, had my lovely daughter Anthea with us, and we went to the range and did archery and pellet guns. You've got to train your kids, man. You men, if you're a single mom, it falls to you, the leadership of the family. Get a pellet gun, get a small bow and arrow set, and start training your kids. There's so many kids today, especially you folks in a city that can't shoot real firearms. Not that a pellet gun isn't a real firearm, because the .22 caliber ones we have will kill a human. But
even some of the 17s.
Even some of the 17s, as Lou says, these are air gun or spring gun or pellet. I guess let's just say pellet gun, because they're all different systems. Yeah, if it'll go through a squirrel, it'll go through you, Lou says.
Yeah.
Well, it won't go through me, but it'll go into me.
Oh, yeah.
It won't go through. I don't think a pellet would go through me.
It's on the person.
Yeah, unless you're made of paper. But we did that.
Yeah.
So you can set up a shooting range in your backyard with a pellet gun or a small-powered bow. We got Anthea. It's like a... I'm getting spasms real bad. Hang on. Oh, man, that was bad. I think the Lord's trying to tell me something here. Maybe I need to shift in my chair or shut up. I don't know which. I'll just shift in the chair first. I'll try shutting up later if it keeps coming back. Set up a small archery range with a small, you know, 25-pound recurve. Or she's got a little breakdown, just a standard bow. It's not even a recurve. It's kind of neat. The limbs come out of it. We got it for her for Christmas. And she's so weak, she can't pull it back all the way, so the arrows bounce off the target. So I had to, like, punch holes in the target, the cardboard, and then put paper over them so she could get a little satisfaction there. But the pellet gun, very quiet, you know, and just set up a target, something with a good backstop. Get a bale of hay, I've used cardboard boxes, filled them full of phone books, old phone books or old books, and wet it down, and it'll stop a 22. It'll definitely stop a pellet. And you can train your kids to shoot from the different kneeling positions. You can teach them how to handle the muzzle control, muzzle awareness. You can teach them the four basic rules. You know, do you guys know them? Every gun is loaded, period. Never point a weapon at anything you don't intend to destroy or kill. Never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to shoot. And be aware of your target. And there's some subheadings on that. What's in front of it? What's behind it? Everything to do with your target. You need to make sure it has a backstop, especially if you're engaged in combat. You don't want the bullet passing through an enemy and hitting a friendly. On a personal level, somebody breaks into your house and you have to shoot somebody with that high-powered 223. You know, that's high power for most people. But you've got your 223 and you're running through your house the California legal AR-15 with 10 rounds in it. You shoot through the subject, but then you kill your neighbor's dog or, God forbid, a neighbor's kid. Who do we got now? You're on live. Who are we talking to?
Hey, Dutch. This is Bob from Georgia.
Hey, Bob. How's it going? What do you want to talk about today? Yeah, you got to turn that background off.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. So, long time no talk to.
Sure. What do you want to talk about today, Bob?
Oh... Well, how's the weather over there?
It's starting to rain. We're about to get 4 or 5 days straight of really heavy rain. And it's good because we need it to water down a lot of the places where we put that decomposed granite around for the shooting range and the roads.
Okay. What's allowed there as far as your, on your range?
Well, the California law states that you can't have certain assault weapons, and you can go look those up. But on our range,
yeah.
if it's legal in the state you're coming from, that's all we care about. You know, if somebody, we've had people come out there with AK-47s, SKSs, AR-15s, or 30-round mags. The California law is that you can't bring a high-capacity mag into the state. If you're in the state and you have it, and it's grandfathered before the ban went into effect, that's legal. You're not going to have us or any of our instructors go, well, let me see the serial number on that thing. We don't care about that. It's not our jurisdiction to check you. If we did have somebody come with a Class 3 and wanted to fire a Class 3, like a full auto or something, we would say, hey, please bring the paperwork, because once you set that off, we have no doubt the sheriff's going to come and see what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah, so like if we were to shoot 50 cals or something, he might come over, but we usually check him at the gate, and he doesn't get to come on, and we say, no, everything's fine, nothing to see here, keep moving, and they usually, we've never had him insist on coming in when we confront him that way. If it's the local deputy who we like, he'll come on and hang out for a little bit, but he's a good old boy, so we don't worry about him. But if you show up with 15-round mags for your Glock, we're not going to go, In fact, we tell people, because we have law enforcement or retired law enforcement that want to train with us, we say, look, you leave your law enforcement hat at the door. You're coming here as a courtesy to train with us. You don't hassle anybody. You know, it's not your job to come here and make sure that that guy's magazine is grandfathered in. You know, we don't encourage anybody to break the law, but we're not gonna go after somebody if they break out a 30-round mag.
I get to shoot it.
Yeah, in fact, Stacy has to check all weapons and gets to shoot them, she says, before you... New rule, Stacy gets to pre-shoot all weapons. But yeah, that's the way we are about it. I mean, we want it to be, more importantly, we want it to be safe. If you bring a weapon that is malfunctioning or something, we'll say leave it in the car. You know, because we'll do that. Because like when we do the entry-level classes, I'll walk the person out to the, you know, the 10-meter range, you know, and shoot their weapon for them. And I've had people come up and go, this is my granddaddy's gun. It ain't been shot in 50 years. Can you shoot it? And I'm like, oh, great. So I'll take it out there, put on some welding gloves, stand behind a post and shoot it on the other side of the post. And go, yeah, you can use this gun. It works fine. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it. We've actually invited people with cannons to come up, but nobody's done it. We wanted it because we got a great hillside. Huh? Oh, you're breaking it? Yeah, I was telling people we've invited people with cannons, but they haven't shown up.
Well, yeah, I'd like to have at least a 155
self-propelled gun. That would be great.
Yeah, I would settle for a 105 though.
Yeah, I would even settle for like a piece of field artillery, like an 80 millimeter or something, or you know, a 90 millimeter recoilless, something you could mount on a Jeep and run around the hills. Because there are people.
Oh, the 105.
Yeah, yeah, 105 would work too. But, you know, something you'd tow behind.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That's a 106 I'm thinking about.
Ah.
The MPs.
What's a millimeter between friends?
Yeah. when I was in the Army, the MPs had a 90 millimeter recoilless rifle.
Yeah.
And I says, what happened to the 106? They said it hadn't been used since Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The 90-millimeter recoilless would be good. Warland in the chat room says a German 88. Those were a very versatile gun. You could mount them on a flatbed truck. They use them for anti-aircraft. They use them for anti-personnel. They use them at the Allies' lesser-skinned tanks. German 88 would be excellent if you could get the rounds.
Well, the thing is, you can get the guns.
Yeah.
And permitted in Georgia.
You can have them in California. I know a guy who has quad 50 full autos, but he pays like a $3,000 a year permit for them. And what he does is he rents them out for parties. He takes them out to the desert and lets like all these liberals shoot them for fun. And they pay a huge amount of money to rent them. And then he rents them, of course, out for movies, as you would guess. I've known people that have had old Soviet, I think they're called BPRs or BBRs, something like that. I'm not good on all the nomenclature, but armored vehicles. I've seen guys with M117 armored personnel carriers with guns on them. Because they do have the movie industry here, there's a lot of folks that have those reenactment devices, but getting the rounds is tough. I know a guy that's got a MiG in his backyard out past Barstow. I drive by and I see it out there. It's a friend of mine's uncle. But you can have whatever you want, but like you just said, it getting the rounds and then paying the fee for it, and then them going, well, why do you got that? You know, getting hassled for it. Black powder is the way to go out here. You can have a black powder cannon or mortar, and they won't even think twice about it. When I was down in Riverside, there was the Riverside County, I think it was called the Mortar and Cannon Club, and they used to meet like the third Saturday of every month. We'd go out and we'd watch them lob bowling balls at Volkswagens out in the field. It was a blast. So I wouldn't mind even having, you know, big old black powder, you know, Napoleonic cannon.
That'd be nice. I saw on eBay a parrot. If it's still there.
A Barrett?
Ferret.
Oh, a ferret gun. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think eBay would sell a Barrett. They'd sell a ferret gun. Yes, Lou. It launches ferrets at the enemy.
The ferret is a British, you know, a little squad car. You know,
phone's ringing.
Yeah, it's
yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen there's all kinds of stuff that I was looking at Major Surplus in Southern California. They have all kinds of stuff for sale now, and. We were looking for a deuce and a half, and we decided that we need to fix our shooting range, our road, and some telephone poles that we need to install for electricity first. So we're going to do that before we get a deuce and a half. But I'm a strong believer in buy up as many Suzuki Samurais as you can, strip them out, put cages on them, and use those like the old Jeeps.
Well, the problem with that is when you find them in this area, you're pretty much going to pay the price of a new one.
Really? Yeah. Same thing happened in Southern California. I never paid more than $300 for a Suzuki Samurai, and I've had 9 of them, and I love them. But you get, like, the old flat fender Jeeps. Guys want 10 grand for one, for an old flat fender Jeep. You know, I remember the stories of, oh, I bought one for 90 bucks. Where? I don't see it anymore. Humvees, deuce and a half, all that stuff is I just don't see those deals. And maybe it's because I don't dwell in those circles. But I've always said, if you need to cut the top off of your Datsun B210, do it. Make it a utility vehicle. Make it work.
Well, there's a 59 Dodge M37 crew cab.
Ah, yeah, that'd be good.
Here's a amphibious. It's a 69.95.
Yeah, see, we've got a guy on the 99 freeway on the way to Fresno. He's got like 5 or 6 of those amphibious ducks, DUKWs.
Yeah.
And he wants like 10 grand for them, and they look like they've been sitting in the field for 50 years. And I go, do they run? He goes, no, I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I just have him. He's got a bunch of military surplus and fire trucks. And it's like, I guess those days of going by Grogan's, you know, Army Navy surplus and getting a Jeep or an old beat up M880 Dodge pickup for $500 are gone.
Yep. But let me see. Here is a duck for $2,000.
That's not bad.
It is, okay, it has canopy frame, stuff of that kind. I'm betting the engine is probably out of it.
Yeah. What everybody wants up here, and I, because they're before my time in the military, but they're a thing called the mule, which is like a flatbed rail car with a steering wheel.
Yeah.
Everybody, there's a few guys that have them up here, and they just love them, and everybody wants one, and I'm like, I never come across them for sale.
It's a quarter ton vehicle that is, I think top speed is like 35, 40, maybe 45 mile an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It uses the same four-cylinder opposed engine as the generator, the little 20,000 kW generator.
The other thing to look at, and we're getting ready to go to a break here, Bob, but the Pinsgauers, there was a guy in Hemet that was selling Pinsgauers for $10,000. Those German, I think they're German or Belgian, I'm not sure which, but they had, those things were just great, and I loved them, and I know a few people that have them. And then the second thing here in California everybody likes are Unimogs, and a lot of the militias are scooping those up, but they've gone way up in price, like you said about the Suzuki Samurais. They want $5,000 for them, which is stupid.
We just talked about the here on eBay.
We're starting to lose you there, Bob. It's breaking up, and it's time for a break. I want to thank you for calling in. We got another half hour to go here on Liberty Tree Radio. As always, Bob, you're welcome to call in anytime. We'll be back right after the break.
Double barrel, had it most of my life. 357 was a present for my wife. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. Trying to take the guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale till I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. God made the animals and God made the trees. God made you, well, hell, he even made me. He gave me his voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.dutchjones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.dutchjones.info. That by far is my favorite piece of bumper music right there. I like that little western twangy thing. Kind of reminds me of the Serenity theme song. I like that one too. This is the Dutch Jones. Ooh, it feels like I'm banging the mic there. My hearing aid just. The Dutch Jones radio program coming to you on hold radio. Not in Cahuilla, California right now. We are on the road. We're mobile. We're a moving target right now. But we're still representing the Church of Cahuilla from the Cahuilla Commonwealth. A biblical worldview. That's what we do here, and a special thanks to our Liberty Tree radio listeners. I want to thank all of you that made it possible for us to pay our electric bill. When I say all of you, I mean three of you. It was three, because you donated that in there. And we're going to take a call right now. Who could this be? You're live on the air.
Hey, Dutch.
Hey, Moreland. Sounds like Moreland from Chico. It's Chico and the Man. Warland and the Chico? No, that doesn't work. Chico and the Warland? I don't know if that works out. What's up today, brother?
Oh, I'm bummed about what happened to Shauna.
Yeah. For those of you that are just tuning in or didn't catch it or haven't heard about it, Shauna Ford, the woman that was accused of orchestrating the murder of a drug runner and his 9-year-old daughter and the shooting of his wife, was found guilty today in Pima County on all 8 counts. And will be sentenced next few days, and she faces the death sentence. And she's innocent. None of the evidence made any sense, and it took him seven hours.
They say justice is blind, but is it deaf and retarded too?
It's definitely deaf and retarded in this case. Juries
absolutely.
Are insane. Yeah, the modern jury system is so corrupt. I mean, they spent 2 years holding her in solitary confinement so they could molest her and destroy her character in the media, and there was no chance of her getting a fair trial.
All it's based on is character assassination, and that's all this prosecutor basically was good at, was prejudicing the jury against Shauna.
I agree with you, brother, and if you listen in the first hour, folks that transitioned over from Stronghold Radio to Liberty Tree Radio, stuck with us 2 hours of this broadcast every day, you'll know that people that are in her corner are just, they're floored. It looked good. There was no evidence presented, no biological evidence, nothing. It was all just hearsay, and even witnesses couldn't pick her out of a lineup. They recanted on so-called testimonies they gave the sheriff's office down there and said, no, I never said that. And all of a sudden,
right now,
the jury just dismissed all that. You know, shadow of a doubt, to use the legal cliche. There was more than a shadow. There were several shadows. There were a whole shot in the whole case that Dupnix County, that the state had brought against Shauna.
Oh, the whole thing was shady.
Yeah. So now what we pray for is that the appeal system starts. We know that it takes 9 to 10 years in a death sentence case. We just hope that we as individuals can just rattle the cages of national media and maybe get some investigative reporting going on to show just how terrible Dupnix is and how they didn't even investigate 2 other possible suspects who fit the description, who lived in the area, who had a vested interest because they were competitors in the drug trade. To wipe out this family, and we still got the two shooters, accused shooters, are coming up now for their trials. So it'll be interesting to see how those go. We know what Dupnix was after. He wants to go national, and he wanted to show that he was, you know, defending his liberal cohorts and standing up for illegal immigration and crime and drug running and slave running and prostitution. Well, you people in Pima County. Yeah.
This Dupnix, he could be an honorary Californian.
Yeah, he should move to California, Dupnix. He's like Sheriff Baca from Los Angeles supporting the Islamic Brotherhood, you know.
Right.
He's out of place in Arizona. I know that the other sheriffs down there don't have nice things to say about him.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, that's my beef for today.
Well, that's okay. That's what we're here for. This is the Modern Day Campfire. Call anytime, my buddy.
All Alrighty. Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
During the break, my our daughter, Anthea, 10-year-old, called in right at, she waited for the break to call in to wish me a happy Valentine's Day, so thank you, Anthea. I don't know if that means she's listening, but she said she waited for the break, and yeah, she's probably just watching the time. I doubt her liberal female parental unit will allow her to listen to something such as this. She's only 10 anyway. Although I do hear a lot of people put their kids down and listen to the replay on this the next day, so that's fine. That's why I try to keep it clean and nice, and I get a little edgy when I talk about sodomites and stuff, but we try to keep it clean. So, yeah, if you want to call in, you want to talk about the Shauna Ford case, I'm not an expert on it. I may not be able to answer questions, but if you want to vent, 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. Before the break, we were talking about scooping up some vehicles or surplus stuff. We're looking for ambulances, anything we can get that we can equip out to be mobile, because we realize that you don't just plan to garrison. You just don't fortify, because, you know, what happens? Especially if you read the book Patriots, you saw what happened to the Knights Templar. And you saw what happened to Waco. You saw what happened to Ruby Ridge. You can't just make a stand. You just can't in some cases. What we're doing now works against your random, you know, group of brigands, that type of thing. But we've got to be mobile, so we try to keep at least, and we have a hard time in this, keeping one of our vehicles roadworthy. Unfortunately, the smallest one is the one that's running now, so we have to figure out how to, we're going to look like one of those Afghanistan trucks leaving for Pakistan during the fighting. Everything's going to be piled up on top, but we got to get our 4Runner going again. But we have a Suzuki Samurai that runs. It's rough, but it runs. No top on it or anything, but I want it that way so I can have, you know, I can move a weapon around if I have to. I can't stand being restricted in a vehicle. And I'm not a motorcycle guy because I would kill myself. So we have to use the Suzuki Samurai, so that's good. But anything you can pick up now that you can modify, a cheap car for $300. I don't even care if it's smog legal or whatever your state's doing here. We got real fascist smog emission stuff. What are you waving your hands for?
I'm selling my car.
You're selling that car?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't we just cut the top off of it?
No.
Can't we just put a great big number 8 on it and drive it around real fast around town with the top cut off?
Somebody else might.
Stacy wants to sell her, what is it, a Cougar?
Yeah.
It's like a 1984
Mercury
Cougar with faded paint and no interior, full of newspapers. I think a hobo's been living in there. You know, I think maybe a bear has been
living. It's got mercury in it, too.
It's probably got mercury and lead paint, too. But she wants to sell it for a few hundred dollars. But yeah, go pick up an old car like that. You know, get a Ford Fiesta and cut the top off of it. Get yourself a Makita with a bunch of cutting blades and just make yourself a tactical vehicle and hide it in the backyard. Swanson 311 saying, get a General Lee paint job. That'd be great. They hate it when we fly our Confederate flags in our windows. Yeah, that'd be fun. The Duke boys. But yeah, just, you know, it kind of stick out on the battlefield, but that'd be good. And yeah, Frogman 22 saying you may even have to evade on foot. You've got to train for that too. That's why we've got trails, caves, everything mapped out. You have to have a multi-layered plan. If in case you have to invoke the biblical doctrine of flight, there's no reason why you couldn't do that. Bicycles. The folks at Liberty Tree Radio turned me on to, like, gasoline-powered bikes.
Those are neat.
Those are totally awesome. We can't afford them right now, but that's something to look into. Get some beach cruisers, put some good tires on them, and
stash them somewhere
off-site. You sneak out in the middle of the night, grab your bike, and just get going. We're in an extremely mountainous terrain, so
yeah.
Leaving, you know, when I say, I should say highland, because, you know, we've got 14,000 feet. Foot peaks within 30 miles of us, but we're in the highlands. We're at 1,000 to 2,000 foot, extreme relief. If you look at it on Google Earth, it doesn't look that bad, but when you're walking it, it's steep. It's almost straight up and down. So if I have to evade on foot, it's, you know, I may be a fall behind, you know, leave behind, and, you know, just give it up for the crowd. But yeah, you've got to prepare for that. Mules. We're always taught. We got a couple mule fans in our group. They're always, hey man, we need mules. Our dog's a little small, but if you've got a dog that you can throw a pack on and he can carry first aid or ammo or even just his own food, you've got a plan for this stuff now. and an old van. Get an old van and just rig it out, park it at a friend's house, and just every couple of months go over there and check the oil, start it up, make sure it's working. Merlin's saying that the Dukes of Hazzard's car was in Chico. A local guy owned one of the TV cars used for the show. In the entire series of the show, I found out today that there were over 600 cars used to make that show, the Dukes of Hazzard. That's how many. Yeah, it was on American Pickers today. I was watching it, and they found like a lunchbox. Oh, you found the actual Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah. I told you I was watching Dukes of Hazzard.
If you like Dukes of Hazzard and you come out to visit us, we'll take you to Boss Hogs. Is it Boss Hogs?
Yeah, Boss Hogs.
In Exeter. Our listeners in Exeter. I think we have one listener in Exeter today. Farmersville. Thank you. Farmersville, there's Boss Hogs, and the whole place is decked out as Dukes of Hazzard. Lunchboxes, cars, Confederate flags. Yeah, we haven't gone there in a while. Breakfast is great there. Great big huge breakfast. And Frogman's talking and have cash and supplies hid. Yeah, your caches have to be, you know, after you get your main stash done, we do it simultaneously. Some people go, well, after I get my first thing done, then I'll do the second. We build up our main, you know, storage in our house of food and supplies. But at the same time, we keep backpacks ready. We try to keep stuff stored around. You have to have caches ready. And I know it's tough. People are going, but I can't afford to do that. But a stash doesn't have to be too much stuff. It could just be a backpack with 3-day supply of granola bars in it, some ammo, first aid kit, water purification system, and that's it, and just leave it somewhere. I know people that are leaving pallet-sized stashes at their friends' houses 100 miles away, saying, hey, can I store this pallet? 55-gallon drums, brand-new 55-gallon drums or cleaned ones that are food-grade. Great way to do it. You know, why reinvent the wheel? Just stash stuff. Stash stuff everywhere. And, of course, you know, don't overdo it where you can't remember where the stuff is like I did. Prior to Y2K, I stashed stuff all over Southern California. Now I can't remember where half of it is. Every once in a while somebody calls and says, hey, you going to come get this shotgun? I just found it in the closet. What about this backpack? I'm like, hang on to it. Just let me know where you move to. Keep in touch with me, but you keep it there. If I don't show up, you can use it. You know, keep it for yourself. Those of you that are medicinally dependent upon certain items, make sure you get those and rotate those out. Those of you with type 2 diabetes, which I think 98% of America is now type 2 diabetic, isn't that right, Lou? I think Lou and a couple other kids that I know are the only ones that aren't type 2 diabetic. Keep your medicines around, herbal remedies, those kind of things, extra eyeglasses, copies of your prescriptions. It may not be a complete collapse of society. It may just be a slight one. One of the things that I highly recommend, and I was talking to Minuteman. Is Minuteman still in there? Yeah, on the phone about it. He was talking about Argentina's collapse in the book. And if you could publish the name of that book again, please, Minuteman. I didn't write it down. Argentina, when they collapsed, a guy down there wrote a book. And from what Minuteman's saying, it's an excellent read. Get your body armor and stuff now. Anything that you think will be almost impossible to get when martial law kicks in, get it now. You know, all the ammo, that kind of stuff. Who do I got here? You are live on the air with Dutch Jones. Who is this?
Oh, well, it's Rocky. You mentioned earlier if she was in there, it was me.
Yeah. Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, first of all, my prayers were shot. That's really sad. That's really upsetting what happened to her. That's just outright.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the foundation's just rigged.
Right. Yeah, in the back of my mind, I was ready for this because I know that the system's corrupt, but I got some glimmers of hope when I saw that the testimony was just so bad that I just think, well, you'd have to be a retarded jury, as Moreland said, to do this.
If it was even a real jury to begin with, how do we know who these people really are? You don't know because they're not your peers.
Yeah, well, we should have the pastor come on and talk about the myth of a jury by your peers and how they've orchestrated removing the courthouses from all the smaller communities to decentralize them so you never get a jury of your peers.
Yeah, they've given the prosecution a completely total upper edge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the system.
Right.
You know, she doesn't know any of these people. They don't know her. Well, I was gonna say, too, you know, buying stuff, what you were talking about, if you can, get it from a state with no sales tax, like Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I'm up there, and I see this. Come on, no sales tax? Hey, if I get the money, I'll get it. That's
well, not
I
all of us are
some tax.
Well, you're fortunate there, Rocky, being a truck driver. Not all of us can just scoot around, but that's good advice.
That's
use the internet.
And and the situation. Or they could use the internet as well.
Yeah, we do everything off the internet.
That's right. I also noticed on my one of my Walmart coupons that, well, it says they also honor online couponing and stuff like that, or coupons. So I'm thinking, well, I get stuff even less. So, but yeah, I just like calling and say that in our prayer for Shauna.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, yep. And I know that her people are listening, so they're hearing you.
I want to ask you, for our training coming up on next weekend, are we also going to do the presentation of everybody's different cert bags?
Yeah, bring your gear that you have. We're not going to do like a big show and tell, but I just want to see that everybody's doing it now. I didn't do it today. I need to contact the state and see if we're going to get those backpacks and stuff that they promised us for the training. But bring what you have anyway. It's just a good show that you're dedicated, that you're putting together your own gear. So, yeah, go ahead and bring that to the training.
Well,
you're going to be busy that day, though, so if you don't bring it, that's okay.
No, I know. That's my wedding day. For everyone to hear. So yeah, we got that and church and the training and the wedding afterwards. And actually, we probably have a large class for the sort of training because probably a lot of my friends. I think my aunt and uncle will probably be there.
Yeah, that'll be great.
We'll have a large class.
Good.
So
looking forward to it. Okay. Thanks for calling in, Rocky.
Take care. All right.
Bye. Bye-bye. And I hung that up, so that's good there. I can't think. Minuteman's asking me a question. I can't think of anything right now. There is one stash of firearms I have down there, and I'm waiting for them to call me back. Yeah, I think she would probably freak out if it wasn't me. It's a nice little old lady that I know. She just doesn't like having them in her garage now that her son died. So I shouldn't have said that. I hope she's not listening. She already would kick my butt if I said nice little old lady. She's going to slap me with a spatula. But, yeah, but thanks, Minuteman. And besides, I need an excuse to... I got to get down to Southern California and visit all my friends and stuff again. Some people haven't even met my new family. So it's time to get down there. It's been 3 years or so since I've been down there. Driving around. Go look at the house I used to own. Places I've been fired from. Go to that barn in Big Bear where I shot that guy when I was a bouncer. You know, that kind of stuff. it's worth going down there again. I do love Southern California. I don't like the people overall. I think it's great down there. But, yeah. So, on the line of getting stuff, just food prices. Literally, some food things have gone up 300%. They're talking now about vegetables, fresh vegetables, because of the winter kill and the storms around the world. 300% increase here in the next few weeks for fresh produce. You know, that doesn't really affect us that are stashing because, you know, I don't stick a cucumber in the basement and count on it being there in 6 years. But it will trickle down to the canned foods that aren't on the shelves now. And just because the way the economy works, they'll raise the prices on the stuff now. The full title of the book that I was talking about that Minuteman told me about was The Modern Survival Manual. The subtitle is Surviving the Economic Collapse, based on the firsthand experience of the 2001 economic collapse in Argentina by Fernando Furfal Aguirre. So you might want to look for that. Surviving the Economic Collapse by Fernando Furfal. Is that Furfal? Yeah, Furfal Aguirre. Aguirre. And I'm sure you can find that online, and he was just telling me a little bit about it, and it's a book we definitely want to get our hands on. It'd be a nice follow-up to Patriots or Teotihuacan or any of those books. You can never do too much study, research, and reading. I know people go, well, I don't want to spend $20 on a manual. Well, there's no way you're going to remember it all. And if you've got a hard copy of something and you can store it in a way that it's, you know, you have access to it even after the raids come, it's great to have. I know some, I've got all those files on my computer. Okay. Yeah, sure. It's a lot easier to carry a jump drive around than it is to carry a library. But maybe you should have both. Maybe you should have hard copies of this stuff. Or at least maybe glean the stuff off your computer that you think are critical. Like, I've got some people, and they just cannot remember, like, how to purify water. So I'll print that stuff up for them, fold it up, stick it in their get-out-of-dodge bag. I know people that are like, I cannot make a fire for the life of me. Could you go over that again? So I print up all the different fire-making classes, handouts that I've done, and I say, here, just take this, put this on your computer, and this in your backpack. And then you could even use the paper for kindling if you need to. But, you know, wait till you learn how to make the fire before you do that. So key things like that are great resources. Great, great resources. The things that you can buy at the dollar store that aren't going to go bad, and the experience I've been having, the Ace bandages aren't that bad. The little heat and cold packets have been turning out to be okay. The vitamins and stuff, I've been having kind of bad experience with those. They turn out to be mostly fluff and filler, kind of like Taco Bell meat. So I'm not crazy about those things. But there's some things that you can get that are a bargain, but sometimes you get what you pay for, period. Keep hitting the secondhand stores. Keep looking for little Boy Scout cook kits. Keep looking for boots. Even if they're not your size, but they're good boots, somebody's going to need them.
Go thrift store hopping.
Thrift store hopping. Set a date. Get you and a couple guys. Get your wives to do it if you're too ashamed to do it. Train them what to look for. That's kind of hard to do, but we'll go together as a family. And I told you last week about the three almost brand-new uniforms in loose size we got for $5 each, blouses and pants. Would have cost us a lot of money if we'd have gone online.
200-something.
Yeah, it would have been over $200 to get them new. And then we got all these really cool patches, too, that Luke could play with. And captain's bars that were on them. Things that carry, things that haul, things that blend in. Remember your camouflage lessons that we've taught you here? Don't just go all military camouflage. Get yourself some gray hoodies if you're going to go urban. If you're going to go rural, get some hoodies. Get things that will blend in. Go. One of the big things, and I keep pushing this, if you're going to work at if you're going to go to a secondhand store, look for work uniforms. You know, Edison, we have here, our electric company. I see old Edison uniforms there all the time. Might be a good way in a guerrilla scenario to be able to sneak closer to a target, isn't it? Or to just be up on a pole and observing and nobody thinks twice about you. What do we got here? Minuteman's saying, I think hard copies of that book are best, or of books in general. You can underline and highlight and keep it with you to read while you're waiting in line somewhere. Yeah. So that's good. Yeah, keep a kit in your car. You know, with all the downtimes we have in our society, it's a good time to maybe go, hey, you know, I've got a half hour here before my appointment. Go to a park somewhere and go through your gear and check it. You know, just, you know, because you never know when you're going to need it. And Murphy's Law, you're always going to, something's going to break, something's going to leak, something's going to not be there when you need it because somebody used it for something in the house. So instead of just saying every 6 months I'm going to check it, do it randomly. Find opportunities to do it. Just like the story I told a few months ago when we got a flat tire and the handle for the jack wasn't in the vehicle. And I had to call the pastor to get a jack that was suitable to work. You know, to lift the car. I had a spare tire. I didn't have the jack handle. So you never know what happens to your gear. It has a way of, there's like these elves that come and mess with your stuff. As I slowly turn my head to look at Lou. Or Stacy. I went nuts one morning looking for one of my favorite tactical knives.
Aww.
And then we're like on there, and she goes, I go, hey, somebody got a knife to cut this? And she pulls out my knife. I go, where'd you get that? Well, it was sitting on the table. On the table where I put it and went looking for it this morning after I showered. Well, it was just sitting there. Where's your switchblade? It's in my pocket. Then why do you need my knife? I like this knife. It's good to have a wife that's into this stuff, but not when she steals your stuff, when she's like, you know. I know where you live, but I don't know what you have on your person of mine while you live. So I went out of the house with only one knife. I should have had two tactical. What if I had to fight with two hands? What if I got in a two-handed knife fight? I'm fighting with one knife. Yeah, what if I have to go after some Hop Su Lu master or something? maps of the area, Frogman 22, good point. I was going over the map of our AO, our area of operation. As I want to do, and I've realized my eyesight's getting so bad I can't read half the stuff, so I got to get one of those magnifiers that lay over it. But you should have your map, your GPS. I'm not a big fan of GPS, Frogman. It's just too many people depend upon them, and they don't get the skills to orienteer. Plus, they go two ways, you know, but then again, everybody has a cell phone, too, on them. So, I don't recommend GPS. In fact, I don't even know where my portable GPS is. I haven't used it in so long because of that fact that I've been getting used to using my Lensatic compass again. And then just, you know, terrain features and being able to tell, you know, dead reckoning, that type of stuff. Skills that you should work on at all times. Here's a good little thing for you. You want to work on how to deal with rally points and train your family without freaking them out. Next time you go to Disneyland, the mall, a street fair, a park, you give them rally points without calling them rally points. And okay, it's 11 a.m. We're going to have lunch at 12, so we have to meet somewhere before we can decide what we're going to eat. We're going to, at exactly noon, 12 o'clock. I want everybody to meet at the fountain. If I'm not at the fountain, you wait there 10 minutes. If I'm not there, then you go to the food court, and I'll probably be in the food court on by the entrance. Great way to get them thinking like that. Great way to get your family thinking along those lines. You don't even have to make it paramilitary. You don't even have to make it militia. You don't even have to make it survive. Did we crash?
No, my computer.
Okay. I heard somebody say crashed in the room, and it makes me panic. So get their mindsets going in that direction. I'm constantly testing and training these two. They don't even realize it. I'll just say, like, hey, we're leaving in 5 minutes from right now, and I'll just go sit in the car. And when it takes them 8 minutes, I'll scream at them and yell at them, like, what took you so long? What were you doing? And they're like, I can't find my keys. Well, why couldn't you find your keys? I went through all the trouble of putting hooks up all over the house. You can hang your keys up. You know, so you find things like that to get them in the mindset. And then getting back to the map thing, sit down with the, play a game with the map. Can anybody find where we are on the map? See if they can find it. Can anybody find where Grandma is on the map? Okay, now if you had to go from here to Grandma's, and let's say this freeway collapsed because of an earthquake, how would you walk there if you had to, little Billy? And little Billy speaks up, or little Louie, and he's like, I've gone along the river edge and I haven't found. And you go, good, that's very good. Well, what would you do if you went along the river's edge and you found out these big power lines that go across here were down? What would you do? You can make it a game. It's a great, great way of doing it. What's wrong?
You turned everybody getting me down.
I turned you down? Oh, I did. Well, doing this doesn't tell me anything. You got to go like this, Lou. I taught you hand signals. You're not using them. Well, I didn't realize we were at the end. Lou's all waving his fingers in my face. I thought he was on fire. But we've come to an end. Folks, thank you so much. It's been a great 2 hours, one of the best hours we've had in a long time. And be praying for Shauna Ford and that cause. Go to our website, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. We got the electric bill paid. At least we will by Wednesday when all the money clears PayPal. But we've got other expenses. We've got to pay the internet bill. The internet bill is $80, and we've got about half of that. We've got about $40 for that. And that's my birthday money, folks. So we're going to need another $40 to pay the internet bill before the 15th, and today is the... Oh, man. We got to change that, the chip in. Tomorrow's the 15th. It's quicker than we...